study with us in the subject this evening that I chose to speak about. As a way of introduction into the lesson this evening, just take a moment to consider and reflect on this room that we are in. We walk within this room. When we walk around in this room, when we see here within this room, we walk around, we see it, we do all these things. Yet there is an element ever-present that fills this room throughout its space. And when we exit this room, this element does not cease to be present. But in fact, it exists beyond this room as we walk outside and walk and travel about. The element that's within this room that is present is air. It's unseen in this room, but it fills the space of this room and beyond. In this room and beyond, we move in this air all around us as we conduct our lives and our activities. Yet with this earthly element, there are spaces where the presence of this element is not. There's space outside in the galaxies where air is not present. Bodies of water, air is not present there either. We then can see the boundaries that it is confined in and to, and that is the element of air. Jesus stated in John the 4th chapter in verse 24 that God is a spirit. Being deity requires that certain attributes be essential. And one of these attributes that he has is being omnipresent. God is a spirit who is not bound by space, by matter, nor by time. God's presence is everywhere, and nothing is remote from his knowledge because nothing is distant from his presence. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, and verse 24, the question is asked there, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?" saith the Lord. Where can you go where God's presence is not there? Deity is that God can fill all places at the same time and have knowledge of what happens in all places at the same time. The next question asked in this verse is, "Do not I fill heaven and earth?" saith the Lord. It does not say, "I am in heaven and earth," implying that God has to travel from one point to another point, thereby leaving and taking his presence from one place, creating a void where he was, and placing his presence in another place, filling that void. To fill heaven and earth is to have his presence everywhere, leaving no void anywhere. His actual presence is there because the word filling can't properly be referred to the act of understanding and will. Knowledge is not enough to constitute a presence. Think about that. A person in London, Kentucky knows there is such a place as London, England, and knows many things in it, such as Big Ben, the Thames River, Buckingham Palace, Abbey Road. Can it be concluded then, therefore, that he is present in London, England, or fill any place there, or be present with the things he knows to be there, but yet he is here? God's filling heaven and earth is distinguished here from knowing or seeing. His presence is rendered as an argument to prove his knowledge. God is everywhere, and his essence fills heaven and earth. He is everywhere because no creature, either body or spirit, can exclude or escape the presence of his essence. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 13, we have recorded there, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." His presence is evidenced in the spiritual realm by Peter's statement in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, where Peter said, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." God's presence must be acknowledged in order for them to be bound in chains and to be reserved until the appointed time. God's presence fills heaven and earth because his presence is everywhere. Again, consider the air in this room. and how we move through it with its presence everywhere. Paul told those Athenians at Mars Hill, it's recorded in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 concerning the essence of God, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." In God's presence, we live and move and have our being. It is not stated here by Him. Of course, that is true. We exist by God. But it's not stated here by Him, but it is stated in Him, showing the scope of His presence. God's immensity has neither bounds nor limitations. His presence is in this room, and as we leave here, His presence is outside as we walk to our cars. His presence is there as we travel home. His presence is in our homes as we reside there. And at the same time, His presence is in Asia, it's in South America, it's in Europe, it's in the galaxy, it's in the universe, and it's in the spirit realm. It is not as with us where we move from place to place, leaving a void and filling a void, but God's presence never leaves. Thus, He is omnipresent at all places, at all times, with no void. God is wheresoever He hath a power to act. But He has a power to act everywhere in the world. Everywhere out of the world. Therefore, He is everywhere in the world and everywhere out of the world. Because He has a power to act. He is indeed said to sit in heaven. In Psalms, the second chapter and verse 4. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." He sits in heaven. "And to dwell on the high," according to Psalms 113, verse 5. "Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high?" But He is nowhere said to dwell only in the heavens, as confined to them. We are told in Isaiah the 66th chapter, and verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." We must recognize that there is an influential omnipresence of God everywhere. It is universal with all creatures. He is present with all things by His authority, because all things are subject to Him. He is present with all things by His power, because all things are sustained by Him. He is present with all things by His knowledge, because all things are naked before Him. Everything in the world, including the world, was created by God, so everything in the world and beyond is preserved by God. Therefore, it is necessary that God should be present with everything while He preserves it. Or else, how could it be preserved? Psalms, the 36th chapter and verse 6, records, "Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, Thou preserveth man and beast." We would not exist, neither would they, the beast or the animals, without God's presence. Hebrews, the 1st chapter and verse 3, says, "Who, being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." Consider that nothing happens on Pluto, nothing happens on Saturn, nothing happens on the sun, nor on the earth, or in the spirit realm, that God's presence does not see, He does not know, and thereby letting Him uphold all things by His power. His omnipotence, His all power. His omnipresence is required in order for Him to be omnipotent, all-powerful, and all-knowing, omniscient. God's presence is required in order for Him to be all-knowing and all-powerful. Part of the scripture reading of Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10, part of it says there, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me." the realization that we must come to is that we can't flee from the Spirit of God, and we can't fly anywhere from His presence. But God's attribute of being omnipresent is forgotten. It's ignored, and it's contemned by mankind. Contemn means to view or treat with contempt, to despise. His omnipresence is commonly forgotten or not believed. Look at Adam after his fall that we're all familiar with. What did Adam say? He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10. He hid himself. Adam thought that after his sin that he could hide himself from the presence of God's justice and from the presence of God's knowledge. Adam forgets and denies God's attribute of being omnipresent. God saw. God was there. Cain thought that after his sin that he could deny any knowledge and rely on ignorance at the death of Abel. But God shows His omnipresence in His question and statement of fact. God's knowledge of what happened. He said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Genesis the 4th chapter verses 9 and 10. God's presence was there when it happened. In Job the 22nd chapter verses 12 through 14, we find recorded there, "Is not God in the height of heaven? Behold the height of the stars, how high they are," man says. He's in heaven, how high they are. "How sayest thou then? How doth God know? Can He judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to Him that He seeth not, and He walketh in the circuit of heaven." Mankind views God as in heaven, not being omnipresent, and veiled by thick clouds, so that He is not able to see the sins that we commit. Consider that mankind commits that in the presence of God, which they would be afraid or ashamed to do before the eyes of man. Mankind does not practice that modesty before God as they do before man. God's omnipresence is contemned, and mankind's actions shout that God's presence is not with us, or that His presence is to be of less regard with us, and His influence upon us less than that of being before men. We conceal our actions before men and not acknowledge that God is present and taking account of our actions. We fear man in doing things in His sight more than we do fearing doing things in God's sight. And in that, we refuse to claim God's omnipresence in our life. How true is the statement in Job, the 24th chapter, verses 15 and 16, where it says, "The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, No eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they have marked for themselves in the daytime, thinking that under the cover of darkness that they would do it, that man wouldn't see it." But all the while, contemning that God is present and sees what they're doing. No matter how they disguise what they do, God sees and knows what they're doing. We must remember what is recorded in Psalms chapter 139, verse 12, concerning God. "The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." It doesn't matter. God's presence is there. His presence is everywhere. In this room, God's presence is here. When you leave from here, God's presence is still there. As you travel home, His presence is there. There's no place that you can get away from God's presence. And not only our actions can't be hid from God, but also our very thoughts are laid bare before God in His presence. This is why we so desperately need the blood of Jesus. We need that avenue to be cleansed, to be pure, to be holy, to be blameless, to be righteous before our God, our Father, whom we must give an account in our judgment as we stand before Him in His presence. God is ever present, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, and not only here, but all throughout the whole world, throughout the whole galaxy. He knows what's happening here at the same time that He knows what's happening in the spiritual realm. He knows what's happening down in the chains that the angels are doing that are reserved there for judgment. He knows it all. And His power is there. And His power is here. And His knowledge is here. And His knowledge is there. It's something that we can't escape. And so therefore, that's who we have to deal with. That's who our life is laid before, is our Lord and Savior. When you think about it, it's kind of awesome. But not only is it awesome, but it's also a fearful thing that all our actions are ever present before Him at all times. That's why the invitation is extended. Because there's times that things are done that we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us of those things. So that we can be holy and blameless in the sight of God in His presence. Because He has seen and took account of what we have done. The invitation is extended each time we meet, so that if you're not a child of God, you have that opportunity to become His child. And if you're a child of God and erred from the path or needing the prayers of confession or the assistance or help in any way in the prayers, this is the opportunity and the time that we have to extend. You can take advantage of that in God's presence. If we can assist in any way, or if you wish to have further studies concerning how to become a child of God, or further studies of other things within Scriptures, let us know while we stand and while we sing.